This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As dominant a run as this league has ever seen. And they punctuate it with a 23rd ACC title. They knock off Louisville 73-62, the final score. Gritty, tough, they get it done. The ultimate team, and they are the ACC champs.
It's time for Kevin Harlan. This is the good Kevin. It's the good time of year. It's the good. This is where you want over the top Gus Johnson, over the top Kevin Harlan, over the top Brian Anderson. It's when you want it. It's when you want it happen. And it's happening. And it starts tomorrow night.
Speak for yourself. We want Kevin Harlan year round. Or yeah. I do anyway.
Especially if he's listening in Dallas, which he's not, hopefully. Love you, Kevin.
There's a lot of questions coming into last night's bracket reveal that I was wondering what they were going to do with certain situations. A, how many teams were the SEC going to get? Were they going to break the record? And they did. They got 14 of the 16 teams in the conference to make the tournament, including the University of Texas, which was a hot button topic last night. Texas over West Virginia or North Carolina over Indiana. Which of those two schools would have made it? Which ones were not going to make it? And the committee did decide that both Texas and North Carolina deserve to be in, and that West Virginia and Indiana did not. And
let me ask you a question for a second. Stop you down. How did you set up for this? How did you prep your excitement level versus like 5-10 years ago? And when you're reacting to things on social media, I didn't actually check your timeline during it. I'm just assuming you said something or two things. What involvement do you feel you get back in terms of people paying attention to this? Because I used to really pay attention to the bracket release. I love the games. I love the tournament. It's the best tournament in all sports. I'll be all in on Thursday and Friday and win this show challenge like I always do.
That's right.
But I don't watch the bracket release like I used to 10 years ago.
I still watch it the same. It was different yesterday because there was no Greg Gumbel.
It was trending.
That was kind of sad, but I had a decent amount of reaction.
You feel like you still got like diehards?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, the diehards are there. The diehards are there. We're not the number two college sports podcast in the country.
Well,
for nothing.
Sports betting, right?
College sports betting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta clarify that one. All right. College sports betting podcast. We're probably two of two. We're probably number two out of two podcasts, but it was still a decent amount. I think obviously the games, when you get to Thursday, people still don't care. I don't believe about the Tuesday Wednesday games. Now they have something here.
Actually, I kind of do, because the American University Eagles, Mount St. Mary's, we're a 3-point favorite. I think we get Duke if we win.
I think you do get Duke if you win.
Yeah, they're vulnerable right now.
Yeah, Duke is vulnerable. So you guys play on Wednesday. Wednesday at 5:40 is American against Mount St. Mary's. And then that is the lead-in for Texas Xavier at 7:10. Those games will be on True TV. But the real stuff gets going on Thursday. So how many bids was the SC going to get? They got 14 of 16. They got about 21% of the entire tournament is SEC teams. That made it the most dominant conference ever. We've never seen anything like this. And unlike sometimes in football where it's a little bit undeserved, this was completely deserved. They were 59-19 against other Power 5 conferences. They were 185-23 overall in non-conference. 14 of the 16 have been ranked in the top 25 at some point this year.
So I'm curious about the UNC selection, which everybody was freaking out about yesterday.
All right.
Like whoever the there was an ESPN analyst yesterday who's go, that has to be a typo. There's no way that team belongs. And everybody freaking, now here's the issue. Bubba Cunningham, the UNC athletic director, was the chairman of the selection committee.
Right.
But said that he promises to the teams that were out, I promise I didn't have anything to do with it. I left the room. And now everybody on Twitter is saying, zero chance Bubba Cunningham didn't have something to do with this because this is the most insane selection.
It's one, like Elon. We'll just trust him. Conflict of interest? No, we trust him.
It's Fox guarding the hen house, it sounds like. Are you buying that he would have actually walked away from that or not had any influence?
This is not the first time this has happened. Like, but the criteria they have is that if your team is being discussed, doesn't matter what you are, because these are all current athletic directors or former coaches. That's who's on the committee. First of all, everybody should be former. Nobody current should be on this committee. But they all are supposed to leave the room when they're discussing their team. If you believe that or you don't believe that, that's just the criteria. The problem with Carolina is they were 1-12 in a quad one. Quad one is you're playing against a top 30 team at home in your home court, a top 50 team on a neutral court, or a top 75 away.
The worst record in the history for an at-large team.
No one's ever made it with a 1-12 record. I suspect.
It's like Alabama football.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, mm-hmm. I suspect that if North Carolina wasn't named North Carolina and they had one quad one win, they probably didn't make it. Texas was 7-10 in quad one. That's pretty good. That means you're playing the top. You're playing basically tournament teams. And you're 7-10. Like I could completely get by with them getting in. Carolina, they probably didn't deserve it. The injury factor, what was that going to do? Cooper Flagg has the ankle. I don't think he plays in the first round. When you guys play Duke, I don't think he's going to play. I think that Duke is just going to sit there and deal with whatever repercussions, right? Yeah. They still have two guys that are going to be in the NBA, like this year in the draft. So they'll be fine. And then, how does that impact him for the next game and beyond that? Can Houston ever catch a break? The last three tournaments leading into it, they lost Sasser, they lost Shedd, and now they've lost Roberts. Like, it's every year. It's every year for them. I can't explain it, but they're always getting hurt. I mentioned Texas. They beat A&M. That got them in the field. Colorado State winning their conference kind of put them a little bit on a scary situation, but they've got the best player on the floor in every game in Trey Johnson. And every game they play, they're just, for the most part, they have the best player on the floor.
Didn't you mentioned the Houston thing. Didn't Oklahoma used to have issues with that too? Is that a Kelvin Sampson thing? Like, is there something seriously about the way he's playing them or something about their minutes that's
he plays them hard.
Injuries to stack up?
He plays them hard. They play great defense. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is about Kelvin, but yeah, I do remember at OU, he would always get somebody hurt late in the year.
Meanwhile, one of the biggest names ever, a guy that I felt like should have been picked up by a bigger school and even right now should be elevated. Rick Pitino, all-time legend, wins the Big East Championship, and he explained how he was going to celebrate.
Coach, how do you celebrate tonight?
I'm going to drink a quart of Jameson's.
No. St. Patty's Day.
For you.
A quart, huh?
I've never heard anybody describe the amount of alcohol they drink in quarts and pints.
It's like
we're
talking
pints.
About a eighth or dime bags.
Yeah. I've heard
talking about weed increments.
I've heard a pint of liquor, you get yourself a pint of beer or a pint of liquor. I've never heard a quart. Never heard of that.
It's a very specific measurement that he must just be familiar with consistently.
Maybe that is that's the amount used for player IVs in order to help out their defense.
When you're getting that production out of the guys like Sadiku and Lefty and Vince, how much more dangerous does that make this team?
Well, Sadiku said his he's getting a lot of fluids, IV fluids, before the game. While it's dark, he's getting IV fluids before the game, which helps the Ramadan. I asked the trainers and him, can we get something in the IV to help his defense? They said they're going to work on that.
I love the guy.
Dude.
I love it.
He's so great. And now he's taken six teams to the NCAA tournament. Six. Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, St. John's, Providence, and Boston. Boston University. Where you got to start. No one's done that.
Have you filled out a bracket yet? And how many are you going to fill out? Pepe, are you excited for this?
Yeah. I already got one done. I think it was an hour after the final bracket was revealed. The brackets were revealed. I filled one out.
Yeah, really?
Filled one out. And I don't even need to know the first four teams. I don't even need to know the winners of those.
Oh, so you have none of them advancing?
None of them advancing past the sixth seed.
You're going to lose. Oh. I've got all kinds of stats on this.
One of my favorite segments of the year later in the week.
Yeah, we'll get this done tomorrow or Wednesday. Your brackets generally have to be in on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's too bad Peyton won't be able to participate this year. It'll be Ross in place of him.
Oh, Peyton's going to be out for a couple days.
Yeah, he's going to be out when we submit the brackets, so... He doesn't get a write-in ballot. He doesn't get to vote by mail. That's not allowed.
Peyton, I'm just going to let you know. You need to have at least one team that played in the first four advancing.
Texas. Easy.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
877-881-1053 to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line with the madness about to begin. Is there some madness going on with the Dallas Stars after the trade?
Dropping it back to McCarr. Now McCarr cuts to the middle. Shoots! Scores!
They've lost two in a row and three of four. There's the call from TNT. Well, what's going on with this, Choppy? What's going on after this deal? Supposed to have this unbelievable super offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not supposed to lose to anybody.
Well, you're supposed to have a super offense, but you know, you did not address one of the main issues, which was they needed some defensive help.
They've given up eight goals over the last two games.
Yeah. Now look, the good news is that you were facing,
and 13 over the last four.
Yeah, you were facing a tremendous goalie in Hellebuck and the Jets, and then Colorado obviously is a very good team still, and they've played really well since they traded away Miko.
Because you talked about this schedule. It's actually 14 goals allowed over the last four.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a tough schedule. I mean, they had a Western Canada road trip, and they ended it in Colorado. But, I mean, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, and the Avs. I mean, those are four solid teams. And, oh, wow. Money puck. Bobby coming in. You can't talk. Bobby coming in with the money puck at 72% for Colorado. So, look, they had a tough schedule that they played over the last week or so. They had a few days off. They got back to it. Now it's a four-game homestand. I like how the NHL does this, where they do like four-game homestand, four-game road trip, four-game. That's what it's been like for a while, and then they'll have another four-game road trip where they go out west again at the end of March. They go to Edmonton, Calgary, and then Seattle for back-to-back.
Well, you were talking about this trip.
Yeah, it was just a difficult trip. I mean, they wind up losing three of the four. Ironically, the only game they win on it was the one that Otter didn't even start. It was to Smith. But this was a tough trip, and this was going to tell a lot about your team. And I think that Winnipeg game, that didn't sit right, because, I mean, they kind of were – they weren't punked in the game, but they were completely kind of outclassed.
How about the golf update? Saw a ton of highlights from the players, and this getting carried over to today to decide?
8 a.m. We're going to have the final three holes, the playoff. For the Players' Championship, the largest purse of any regular tour event, not including your majors. But, we got the Players coming up here at 8 a.m., and it's going to be Rory and J.J. Spahn in the final. So you get a little Rory action there, Bobby.
No Matsuyama, though.
How did you feel about Rory versus the Texas kid? That kid was from Texas, right?
Yeah, I thought Rory was... I don't know. I get a bad taste in my mouth of Rory now. Like he's either great.
Well, the kid was heckling.
The kid was heckling.
I saw Rory getting called the B word by a lot of people. Wasn't the kid heckling him?
The kid was heckling him. But I mean, this is where
you're about to be a future going. Shut your mouth, punk. Shut up. Be quiet.
So,
but Rory went over and took the cell phone.
Yeah, he took the cell phone. It's like, come on, man. What are we doing?
Why'd you take the phone, though? Like, was he playing clips off the phone? Like, he should have just slapped him.
So
it was coming from his mouth, right? The kid.
If you deal with, like, athletes of other sports, if they ever play with, like, a PGA Tour, like, if Jordan ever plays with a PGA Tour golfer, he just trash talks the whole time. Because there's a lot of them that are not used to getting trash talked. It's a very, you know, they're not used to it. So you can kind of get in their head. And I guess Rory's just not used to getting heckled. And he got heckled.
He isn't?
He should be.
I would think at this point with all the Liv stuff, he's way used to it.
I hate Liv.
Kid's not playing with him. And like you're a prospective future golfer. I don't know. Little punk move.
Yeah, he shouldn't have done that. But Rory should act. I mean, you should be okay. You're a professional golfer at that level. You should be able to handle a little bit of heckling.
All right, so there it is. The rest of your weekend recap here on Sean and RJ. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell, to answer this question. Did the Cincinnati Bengals late last night just screw up things with Micah and the Cowboys even more? And the one word that you're using to describe the Cowboys offseason so far, this blew up yesterday. We need you on the fan text at 877-881-1053. We take you inside the Star. We go commercial free with the Expressway. And we have a PBR ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on right after this. Good morning, Metroplex. Got the entire crew back together again. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, partner of 15 years. Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe and Aiden firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And we are now commercial free with the Expressway. And we're going to try to thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. That's the station moniker and slogan. It's Tolo. And we have PBR tickets throughout the entire week when Peyton gives you the cue to call. Let's take you inside the Star on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys and a loaded best and worst of the weekend. I cannot wait for someone in the room getting married, someone in the room getting a house, someone in the room learning to cook properly.
Whoa.
It's a loaded best and worst of the weekend where we get into all of your debauchery over the St. Paddy's Day festivities. Did the Cincinnati Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase do anything to the Cowboys and Micah Parsons? Jordan Schultz broke the news last night. They are following Joe Burrow's instructions. Burrow said, I want the offense, I want the receivers. They said, Trey Hendrickson, you can go seek a trade. We're paying Ja'Marr and we are paying T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase gets the highest paid non-quarterback deal in NFL history, 4 for $161 with $112 million guaranteed. As I break out the easy tip calculator on my phone, that's 40.25 for Ja'Marr. Bobby's head was spinning when he saw what T. Higgins got, 4 for $115, making him the highest paid wide receiver two in NFL history.
That's the receiver market has just exploded recently. I mean, I think Brandon Ayuk's a good player, but should Brandon Ayuk be the seventh highest paid receiver in football? Should T. Higgins be the ninth highest paid receiver in football? Should
Dak be the highest paid quarterback in football?
Exactly. That's the way it works. The leapfrog of the NFL.
Right. Quarterback has always worked that way. This is an explosion in the receiver market like we have not seen before. And I don't know that we've ever seen somebody jump the top of the market at receiver by this much. Justin Jefferson was 35 a year. And that was last year. I mean, that was after CD?
That was before. It was June.
Okay, so
it was June, right? And then CD signed like right in camp.
Less than a year later, he jumps the market by like 18%. Ja'Marr Chase is really good. There's an argument Ja'Marr Chase is the best receiver in football. I've never seen them just go, all right, we're no longer talking about quarterback. We're no longer talking about the highest paid receiver. You've got to identify yourself as, no, I want to be the highest paid non-quarterback. So you're now having to measure paying somebody not just by their position, like what is this position being paid? You're now having to pay certain people based on what is the top of the market for somebody who's not a quarterback, and that's me. And that's an evolution. That's a change in the way these are negotiated.
It's a lot. And then, you know, like they had three guys they had to sign, and they decided on the two, you know, with Trey Hendrickson. They decided on the two, and they decided to go offense.
And we now have a new starting point for Micah and his agent. 40.25?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, that Myles Garrett clearly set the baseline for Ja'Marr Chase.
What? What, Choppy?
I mean, just the thought that it's at $40 million
for a non-quarterback.
For a non-quarterback, you're going to be if you sign Mike at a $40 million, Myles Garrett to $40 million, and even a good year is 15 sacks.
Yeah,
sack a game.
Yeah,
you're paying like $2.5 million per sack.
Yeah, now obviously it's the effect you have on the game that's broader than that.
I get it,
but.
But let's say you get three pressures a game or whatever. It's like still, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a lot of money, but also, again, it's relative to just where everything is going up around you. It's all relative. It's all.
And the league.
Yeah. It's all inflation. It's the way that they've operated. But yeah, this will definitely. Micah's starting point, or you're not starting point. I'm guessing Micah's representation, their settle point is 40.5 now. That's probably where they would settle. I'm guessing they're asking. Prices above that because you always ask for more, you settle down and find the middle.
Do we think the idea of Micah taking less is now flushed and gone?
I never thought that was real, but yeah, I would.
Now it is. He's seen too many guys. He's not going to make $10 million. The whole idea that.
And if he was going to take less, I would think the deal would be done earlier.
It would have been done. Like when it was at 35 with Bosa and he was like, well, I don't need to reset the market to 40. What's the difference between 40 and 30? But when the market has become now 40, that's the market, right? So maybe he takes 35 and gives you a break. You're still not getting a break.
We talked about this last week, and we've mentioned it before. The amount of pressure that the agents and the players are under from the NFL Players Association to not give those breaks is immense. They're on their tail routinely of just like, you are not going to mess up the market for players who haven't gotten their big deal yet. You're not going to mess that up for them. So you need to play ball.
Let me know what the Tolo said overall about Micah versus Tank. I'm dying for a Fantex, Twitter, social media, Twitch recap.
Split. Honestly, half of them were saying D-Law's 100% right. We say these things all the time.
Not going to win anything here.
Yeah, a lot of that. And then the other half was... Well, I can say something about my family, but you can't. You're not here anymore. You don't get to talk like that. And Mike is right. And so it was kind of split, I would say.
Yeah, it was kind of split. I'll tell you this, though. You know, now that Seattle gets Tank and Cooper Kupp, like, can you make a legitimate case that they're better?
Than Dallas?
Mm-hmm. You might have been able to anyway. They were a 10-win team.
No. You can't legitimately make the case. There are too many variables and questions with what they've done. Their quarterback is Sam Darnold. You don't know if it's a flash in the pan thing yet. We don't know about Cooper Kupp's health. Like, there are too many questions for them to defend it.
There are. I'll say this, though.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say Cooper Kupp is not an upgrade over DK.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's
could argue they downgraded with their two big moves.
They downgraded with receiver, for sure. You know, Tank is, I think Tank's still a
quarterback.
Yeah, now
argue that Darnold is not as good as Geno.
I think they made a mistake. I think Geno's better. Now, I love what they did getting off the hamster wheel, but then they got right back on it the next day.
Yeah.
It made no sense at all. But they looked at both. They said, we could pay the same amount of money to both of them. And they chose Darnold. I don't know.
214, Tank and Micah are both failures who are overpaid. Another 214, him or Micah don't show up in playoff games. 214 said they were siding with Tank. 817 says trade Micah. So
give me the hottest take that either of you had on the fight, on the squabble. As Bobby had been telling us for a long time, this is not a surprise that there were some feelings behind the scenes. We saw back and forth during the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. What was the hottest take that either of you had?
We had a hot take on it. I think like Micah took, obviously like Micah's aware of everything that goes on, and Tank really hit him exactly where everybody can hit Micah across the league, which is, man, if you spend more time in football instead of podcasting or tweeting or whatever.
This is why Brian Schottenheimer got hired. That was my biggest take. This is the kind
Bobby found a way to take it to McCarthy.
It's not about McCarthy. It's about just in general, Schottenheimer's pitch was so effective to the Joneses because they knew stuff like this existed in the locker room and they want to stop it.
My takes were, was it a cheap shot from Tank? Yeah. Correct? Probably. But you're also not winning jack squat, or you're not winning anything major.
Who's burned out, man?
In Seattle. What I would ask Tank is, did you do enough to make it happen in Dallas in terms of winning big? Were you a good enough leader to stop what Micah Parsons was doing behind the scenes or these feelings you had towards him. You're supposed to be one of the top three leaders of the football team. So did you do your job? These are questions. Did they not respect you enough, or were you just unreachable? For Micah, you know, this is some clown ass. Diggs also, of course, had to chime in. He's got to do the Micah tag team. Then he deleted it, saying can't go to war with somebody who really be hating on you. You know, Micah says all the leadership things, but when is it ever going to like truly happen?
Right.
That's what I want to know. You know, you say, oh, this is my time now. He tweeted that after Zach Martin retired. Yeah. And I'm like, what? At first it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then I'm like, all right, is he just trying to say I need to be the leader? You don't, people who are naturally fit for the position don't have to just tell you all the time.
Absolutely.
And Micah Parsons has to just tell you all the time. But the initial reaction I got from Tolos when Tank said it was, he ain't wrong, he ain't lying. And then you got the, well, you can't say that about us. Tolo Michael Toro had ordered a Seattle number 90 jersey with tired at the top. So the cheap shots
burnout
coming in. So I get Micah trying to defend the star. You know, he's now the leader in there. But a lot of people were trying to take this to, well, what type of chemistry was really in that locker room?
Yeah. I mean, this is
what was the dynamic? And, you know, I came up with a hot noise because I was Tank Lawrence. He talked way too big, in my opinion, for his production and the Cowboys' lack of production in the postseason. A lot of hot noise. I had heard, right, I think John Machota said Micah never really went down for that. He was never like, let me be a part of the hot boys and the hot noise. So I pick from both sides.
Yeah, and look, I still will, to this day, will explain away the DeMarcus Lawrence, we were burned out thing as just what actually happened. There was Micah knew, or DeMarcus Lawrence knew there were issues of preparation and chemistry, and some of these tension points existed with them in the locker room in a whole, as a whole. And when he got asked about it, he was still here. He was not going to blow up his spot. He didn't view it as productive. So the real answer was, we had bad chemistry. We have some guys in there that we don't get along very well, and we don't prepare the right way. And these are all issues that he wasn't going to say that, though. And so instead, just kind of grasping for something, we were running. DeMarcus Lawrence wasn't tired. Nobody was too tired to play. It was just
a
scramble for an answer. Yeah. And I understand people still want to hold it against him. I think he was trying to protect their culture at that moment. And so that was what just kind of came out of his mouth.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, I wonder if your Tank and your Malik Hookers and your Jordan Lewis's loved, embrace, and welcome the new leadership coming in with Micah and Trayvon Diggs. Doesn't feel like that right now. So are you going to be better off with Micah leading things defensively for your locker room? You're not going to have Jay Lou there, and you're not going to have Tank Lawrence there. We will find out.
We'll find out.
All right, I asked Tolos yesterday, this kind of blew up on social media, for just one word to describe Cowboys free agency so far. Because we have a lot of activity.
They've done a lot of things. It's movement.
It's movement.
Movement.
That could be one word. I'm just going to roll through some of the words.
You want a single word.
A single word at 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line.
Can I have a hyphen in it?
It can have a hyphen.
Okay.
It can have a hyphen. Aggressive, value, bland, inexpensive, mediocre, bottom feeders. There was a hyphen in there. Selectively aggressive, Stephen Jones. Mid, expected, Dollar General. Someone sent me an Ollie's sign with an old man, Albert Einstein, saying good stuff cheap. Meh, bargain, Dakotage. I think that's trying to say Dax contract sabotage you, so you're screwed right there. Depth, improved, underwhelming.
So that's improvement.
Mid, mid, meh, mid. These are a lot of the words. What would you grade them so far, Bob? Do we feel good about the depth reestablished?
Yeah, you've covered your bases early.
Because that's their goal, right? They're like, we want to plug any possible holes so that we don't have to draft this.
Contingencies. That's what they look for. Yeah. They look for contingencies so that when they go into the draft, they can just approach it however they want. The word I would use is standard. Like, this is kind of just their, this is their standard approach, and they're meeting it. I like some of the moves they made. I think Solomon Thomas is a good player. I would probably say right now it gets a, ultimately a B minus, something like
that. B minus.
Yeah, right around there, I would guess.
B minus to me
B- minus is
pretty
a good grade,
good.
Man. I'd have killed for a B minus in a lot of my classes.
Well, so C is just, they're doing what they do, and I expect it. So they're a little above.
Standard means to me C and average. You said standard.
So, right. And so I'm saying they're going a little bit above it because they've been more active early and are covering bases. So that gets a little bit above it and a little bit of a positive grade. I do like some of the things they've done. It could elevate much higher if they would bother addressing wide receiver two or some of these other starting positions that they haven't done a damn thing with yet.
Man, it's like they went to Uptown Cheapskate and just got like some clothes that they, hey, you know what? Hey, I found a pair of Chubbies once, like the, it's the swimsuit. It's like a $70 swimsuit got for $12. You know, you could, that's what they did. That's, they went to the Goodwill. And
hey, those Goodwills are expensive now.
I know. It's really sad.
Yeah, they're very chic. It's
really
the new
sad.
Trendy thing.
You got rich people going there to taking all the clothes that people actually need. But yeah, it's a standard expected
C.
It's a C free agency. They addressed some needs. They spent some money. It felt like they spent money because they had to spend money. You know. I'm with Bobby. They didn't address a lot of things.
Guys, a lot of toes on the fan text saying depressing from the 214 and 817. 940 says uninspired. And a lot of Tolos also texting boring or mid. Average is the word that they're using.
So I did not expect them to re-sign Osa. They get credit for that, and it was a good deal. Solomon Thomas is a good player. They got Dante Fowler. Last year, in the entirety of the free agent period.
And in case you missed it, over the weekend, Cooper Rush to Baltimore.
Yes. The entirety of the free agent period last season, the Cowboys gave out $6.1 million in total guarantees to outside free agents. That was it. So far this year, and we don't know what Fowler got yet. We don't know what Jack Sanborn got yet. They've given out $7.5 million. And then they've traded for Elam, who also has $2.5 million guaranteed. So they're already up in terms of acquiring guaranteed money. It's at least 10. It's probably over that, depending on what Fowler and Sanborn got. So they are being more active. Last year was so bad that this offseason, I think, where it's just kind of a return to how they've typically acquired in past off seasons, it's a return to normalcy. I think it's just, it's being viewed a little more like, oh, this is a little bit aggressive, when in reality, it's kind of a return to what they've been previously after last year. They completely sat out.
Let's hook you up. We are your home of the Cowboys, in case you did not know or could not tell, here with Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We're also your home of the commercial-free expressway every day at this time, where we say thank you.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to the PBR World Finals at AT&T Stadium on May 16th through the 18th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Every Monday at this time, we need to get into your debauchery from St. Paddy's Day or the entire weekend in general, and we are loaded with best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
RJ Choppy?
Yeah.
Married?
We got the marriage license.
Let me see your left hand.
Oh, we're not married. It's not official yet, right? The guy's got to sign it. Right? We need to have the, once you get it, you got to wait 3 days. Whatever. I don't know. And then and you have 90
so go
days.
Go into the courthouse.
We went to the, vital records office and, you know, said we got to apply for a marriage license. Took like 10 minutes.
Okay.
In and out. So we get the marriage license, and now we had to wait. So that was on Friday. So I guess technically we'd get married today if we wanted to.
So you have to go back to the courthouse?
We have to go somewhere else. Now we have to go to either a courthouse or we just find a Mary and Barry pastor, somebody who's licensed. They sign it. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that in the middle of April. Middle of April. So I think we're going to do it actually on our anniversary. Be the same day.
Oh, on the show.
On the show, on April 11th.
So middle of April, you're going to officially be married.
We're going to tie the knot. Yeah, I can still trade her in. Okay, I've got that 30-day window here.
Yeah.
It's a non-refundable. And I said, I bought you $70. I said, she brings up the credit card.
Oh, man, what a loving statement.
She goes to bring out the credit card. I said, no, I got this. I'm buying you. And I handed it over to him. I try to make a joke at everything.
Yeah.
So somewhere in April 11th or 12th, we're going to do it at a park or the courthouse.
Yeah. And so April 11th or 12th, you'll have a ring, another ring on.
I'll have a ring on, yes. Okay. I'll have a ring on my finger on April 11th or the 12th. And then, you know, we'll probably do a party. Yeah, a little like a dinner.
Yeah,
get together.
You sound a little panicked last night in the email.
Well, that's the thing. We cannot figure out if we want to do the courthouse on Friday or a park on Saturday and then a party after or wait till we get back from our honeymoon to do it. Because we're running out of time here.
And your honeymoon is when and where?
We're going to go to Europe. Switzerland.
Well.
So yeah, it's
in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, I don't know. It'll be after we get married. It'll be like the middle of April. You know, so we have.
I thought you're getting married in the middle of April.
I am, and then the honeymoon right after.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're gonna wind up doing. We just don't know what we want to do before. If we want to do the party right after the wedding, because it's not gonna be a big party. It's gonna be a handful of you know of all of us and
yeah.
Just go to dinner or something. But I'm like, you know, we don't know if we want to rent a place out or go to a big bar and just do a big, you know, big bar setup. I don't know. We're trying to figure that out. We're very panicked.
It doesn't sound that difficult. You're overthinking it.
I know.
Get married at 3 p.m., 2 p.m., rent a room or rent a space and have people join it.
I know. I told her, I said, I could call up today. Rent, you know, I could go rent a room at this whatever place we want to go to.
Yeah.
And then get the thing catered and, you know, we'll be able to do it.
Drinks and food. Yeah.
And then we'll be able to get, you know, 30 people in there. It's about 30 people.
She doesn't want to let us have an open bar. Is that it? She wants a cash bar.
No. It's going to, we are going to have an open bar.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, some of her friends are saying, just go to dinner and have everybody pay for themselves. And I'm like, No,
Carly.
I said, no. I will get mocked on the radio for that.
Yep.
Just right. A dinner? If you're not going to do a big, you know, hoop de la.
I said, I'd rather do nothing. I'd rather just go to the courthouse, elope, and do nothing after, not have any party at all, not have anybody over, and just me and you go home and consummate the marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'd rather do that.
I'm sure you'll get a text or a tweet here in the next 2 minutes, if not already, with someone being like, I got a restaurant, I got a bar, you can have this space, it's perfect, and then you work out the food and drink for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, we got photographers already texting in. We need a photog. We do need a photographer. People are saying, use Sean's backyard. Do that.
I'm already hosting another person's engagement party here in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah?
That's why I asked about the grass turning green. Amanda's freaking out. Yeah. I need my pavers, power wash, too.
So, yeah, I mean, and you are the master of finding a deal. Finding not even a barter, just a gift from people. Leveraging your spot to get a gift. And so you want people to
stand in and congregate for like a good hour and a half. You know, to feel like an event, not just a dinner.
A dinner's not
big enough for this.
I agree. And, you know, my mother, oh, God, she got it in Sarah's head that RJ is not going to let you not do anything because he has to be the center of attention. That's what my mom said.
Oh, wow. Where did she get that from? The funeral?
I'm like, listen up, Luann. Okay, mind your own business. Unless you're paying for this thing, then keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you should have left her ass on the airport curb.
I should have. I should have left her there.
Standing there at Love.
I got to go all the way to A13. Can you pick me up there? I'm like, well, Mom, at C now. I got to drive all. So it's just, she's.
So what does Sarah want? Or what? So now it's a power struggle? Like, I don't want RJ to be the center of attention on his wedding day?
No, I don't.
What's
I think Sarah ideally.
What's the debate?
I think she ideally doesn't want to do anything. She wants to just go get married, take some photos, and then go home.
Wow.
I think she doesn't want to do anything.
She loves social events.
But she doesn't like being the center of attention.
Oh.
She gets very anxious about that.
Okay.
So, and I get that. And I'm like, you know, my whole thing is, well, I have to be the center of attention.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, you'll take
the spotlight
from
me. And you paid for the wedding.
I'll pay
the $70.
I bought her.
You bought her.
I know. That was a
very smart move.
I own her now.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
She's mine.
You're going to be groomzilla for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I already was once.
Yeah. So
look how that turned out.
Yeah. Did you pick the ring that you made us vote on in the text?
Yes, we did.
The guy ring, did you go with theirs or the one I suggested?
Both.
You gotta have a backup.
Because I'm gonna lose one of them.
What's the primary though? What are you gonna put on your finger at the ceremony?
Whatever one she chooses. I don't care.
877 So what was her vote?
I think she likes the one with the gold on it is like a, I think for like a more dressy occasion.
Okay.
So it depends on what the attire is. I gotta find it. I don't know what I'm gonna wear. She has her wedding dress. I have no idea what I'm gonna wear.
Oh, is she wearing like a
yeah, she got
white wedding dress?
Yeah, yeah. She shouldn't be wearing white, but she's gonna
877-881-1053 Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. And now, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I guess first part, you're not really married, so I'll pause that. But
it's not refundable. It's not refundable.
Right, I also have a paused inevitable congratulations. Peyton Russell blew me away. You want to talk about efficiency in sports, like LeBron James, some of the greatest players, the efficiency of deciding we're going to do something and getting it done. Peyton Russell is the most efficient decision maker in the building as you're about to close on a house.
We are under contract, Sean.
Whoa!
Under contract.
Whoa! Renting is Kristen no Bell, listen up.
No more renting. We are now buyers. We are, so much has happened. I've learned so much in this process of doing this, and I've only been doing it for about a month, it seems like.
You never asked any of us any help.
Well, I brought it up last Thursday. You know, we had some advice. But yeah, I mean, so much has changed in the last 10 days because the house we originally put an offer in, the seller took the other person's offer. So we're like, okay, well, we'll, you know, keep looking.
That's the one where you undercut by 25K?
Yeah, by 25K.
That house is gone. Bluff.
Yeah. Originally, that house was gone because someone else, you know, bid a little more than we did, so they took theirs. And then I guess something financially under contract happened. I guess contracts can come and go. Nothing's ever official.
Sure.
And so then the seller hit us, Mackenzie and I, back up and said, hey, we're back to negotiating. You know, their contract fell through, so we had to come up a little bit, but we got like some credit and closing cost coverage, all that. So, you know, we tried to negotiate our best, but I think we got settled. And closing day, we're a little over 20 days from closing. So,
wow.
There we go. Just like that.
This guy said,
what a turnaround.
I need a girlfriend. Boom. Girlfriend to wife quickly.
Yeah, he's quick.
I want to move out of my parents' house. Bam. Right to Rockwall. I'm tired of renting within a year.
Mm-hmm.
Rent to buy. I mean, your efficiency. I'm proud of you.
I have goals in life, Sean. I have goals. I got to achieve them.
Okay.
I gotta achieve them.
So this is basically, it's almost done.
Almost done. You know, I think earnest money or whatever that's called, you know, that's next. And, you know, then we got down payments. Yeah. So we'll figure out
have
something
you
there.
Done, have you gone through the lending process yet?
I mean, we have a lender, if that's what you're talking about.
No. Like, have you found out your interest rate and everything and
so
what your payments are going to be?
Our lender said he's not going to lock in an interest rate till closing date because the market could go up and down then. So, I mean, we have some credit from the seller where, like, we can buy down our interest rate. I think that's a term to use. So we'll wait there. But, yeah, so we do have around an estimate.
So rate. The style of house, you guys were in two different continents.
Yeah.
This house favors whose style?
Mackenzie. Yeah, because this was the house last or a couple weeks ago, I guess, that I said that needed some work. You know, I told you I didn't want to go into a house and immediately have to put work into it. This needed some work.
Yeah.
But it was one where it was like the price and the square footage. It was a no-brainer. It's a money-making house.
Oh, really?
That's
a money-making house.
That's it. And, you know, 10 years, we'll be making money on it. So that's all we care about, I guess, at this point.
Awesome.
So,
congrats. Yeah,
that's great.
I'm glad this didn't drag out because they were on two different opposite ends at that dinner the other night, and I was like, man, if this drags on too long, I worry about tension developing between these two.
She said a couple uncomfortable things. I quickly had to try to change the subject, and that's why Peyton drank the three shots of tequila like a champ.
Yeah, he took him down
like
a
champ.
He was hurting the next morning.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
I listened to 640 recap.
Yeah,
listened. All right, best and worst of the weekend. And I'm also super proud of you. I've tried to give this cooking device to two other people up here. Zach Wilchuk never touched it. Gavin Spittle, haven't heard a word back. I thought I was trading my sous vide for his hockey recaps. That didn't show up this morning. So I guess Spittle is boycotting hockey recaps since the Stars are struggling. But your family finally cooked the right way.
My parents used the sous vide last night with steak and chicken.
Oh yeah,
steak and chicken. So perfect. I mean, perfect amount.
Perfect, right?
Perfect medium rare. You know, my dad went out there seared it for.
Chicken,
you know,
is the best medium rare.
It is. I like medium rare chicken.
Yeah, but no, I had the steak there. Mackenzie had the chicken, but both cooked perfectly there. So had baked potatoes as well. My parents, they won't go back though. They've had this thing for a few months now. They won't go back to, you know, just grilling. So
did you tell them I was proud?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you use Meat Church before he lights you up in a Text Rage.
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
And tries to guilt you. Okay, you did. Well done. Bobby, best and worst of the weekend.
Yeah, I went to Derby in Frisco on Saturday night after I was looking for plans. I was like,
see, I thought I got the horse racing schedule wrong.
Yeah, I was like,
Will Chambers, I'm heading to the Derby.
The Derby.
I'm like, yo, I know you're a Kentucky wannabe. Yeah. Stop hearing about Kentucky. What did I miss the Derby?
No, that's not until the first week of May.
No, yeah, this is the bar. They're in Frisco. Which
is this where he's trying to watch the game Saturday?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Somebody a bar that has recently partnered up with us here at 105 Through the Fan. And the owner of the bar, Matt, was there, and he listens to the station, and he was most excited about, okay, let me come over here and get some time, because he wanted to get all the tea on how things played out last October.
I know.
He wanted to know, how did y'all know Jerry was going to get mad at y'all? What happened then? Were you guys freaking out any? Did you really think you were going to be in trouble? Everybody, that's what people want to know.
Do you feel like we've been... There's a good and a bad. Like, I went to a 5-year-old birthday party. This guy tapped me on the back and Jerry party. And I told Amanda, I've been typecast. You know, I've been staring. I don't want to be known for one thing. Or is it the RJ Choppy approach? At least you're known for something. Like, that's all anyone ever wants to talk about is the Jerry fight.
Well, think of it like this.
I don't want to be typecast.
It's still fresh, though, when you think about it. We're 5 months removed from it.
Five?
Yeah, it was October. Gosh. It was October. So yeah,
a lot longer.
We've got, we're just 5 months removed from it.
I don't want to be Urkel, you know?
Hey,
Urkel was a powerful figure.
Costanza?
Yeah. I don't know. I want to be known for a lot of things.
Matt was a cool dude, and... He actually said that was where he was like, that's when I knew I wanted to partner up with you guys. When I heard that, that's when I was like, these are the guys to be around.
That's when the strip club also sent us over champagne.
Oh,
that's
right.
Maybe we should hype it up even more.
Yeah, no, exactly. We got to
strip club,
up more.
The champagne in the studio, dear.
Yes.
Now when we stop by the Red Garter.
No, well, hey, come on.
No, wait, was it Red Garter?
Was it called Red Garter in Indianapolis?
Was it Red Garter?
Is
that what it was called?
Yeah. Yeah. That was supposed to be a secret.
We never went in.
No, right. Officially, we never went in. But no, Will was throwing back the drinks. My goodness.
Of course he was.
And yeah, he was pounding back shot after shot. I think I saw him take, between beers and shots, I think I saw him take 10 in the 2 hours I was there, 2.5, 3 hours. And he was already lit up. He had said he'd been there since 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By the time I got there at 9.
Oh, God.
And so he was going hard. He was raging. But it was a great time and an awesome setup there. And I think we're going to be doing some more stuff there in the future with the station. So it should be fun.
All right. I went to Longhorn Ballroom on Saturday for, Amanda said, if you pronounce this correctly to all your listeners, you'll be a huge hit. Norteño music? A style? Easy Band is some TikTok out of Houston. And it started, of course, I don't attend any show with my wife unless there's a Selena aspect. So there's a Selena cover band. I was like, all right, this girl's good.
Gomez or Quintanilla?
Gomez?
Selena Gomez or Selena Quintanilla? Which angle does she need?
I don't know anything you're asking.
Well, Selena.
The singer who got killed.
Quintanilla.
Okay. So there's
I don't think you need to clarify that. I think people know which one that he was talking about.
He needed clarification.
Well, we knew,
Selena
we
Gomez, the little pop star now.
Yeah.
Quintanilla. Stop messing up my cred from the Cholo Tolos, okay? And then this band decided to go ahead and try to reincarnate a musical style back in the day, and they wanted to go and see it. So we went with our friends. And it was a good time. They start off a little slow. An accordion is being incorporated into this music. And there were so many white people in there. I was like, what are all these white people doing in here?
I detected a Persian accent.
It's just like, is this a polka feel to this type of music?
Waltz.
What is going on? But they got it hyper and more active throughout the evening. So Easy Band is what I went and watched at the Longhorn Ballroom. Had never been there. Little scary drive heading there.
Oh yeah!
But once inside, it was a good fun venue.
Yeah, you got to broaden the horizons.
Everything we do is Mexican, so I'm not broadening it that much. 877-881-1053 Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. But when I tweeted Norteño yesterday, The toller's like, oh, I'm intrigued. Oh, put the squiggly line on top of one of the ends.
I don't know how to do that.
You didn't do it correctly. All right. Hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. Did Dirk finally give his honest thoughts, unfiltered thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks next?